Not the only one. We've got, sorry, I'm going to rephrase that. It's the only one we're using this morning, but it's not the only place we read the story. We read the same story in the other Gospels as well, but we're going to read it specifically out of John this morning. And it's not a story, it's a testimony of what Jesus did. It's one of the miracles Jesus did. It's not a parable that he told. It's not a feel-good story. It's something that happened and people were involved, and there's a significance in this. So let's start there in verse 5. Verse 5, it reads, "When Jesus looked up and he saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?' And then the scripture says, 'He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do.' Philip answered him, 'It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite.'" Not a meal, just a snack. "Then one of the other disciples, Andrew, spoke up and he said, 'Here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish. But how far will they go among so many?' Jesus said, 'Have the people sit down.' There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, and he gave thanks. He distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, 'Gather the pieces that's left over. Let nothing be wasted.' So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of the five barley loaves that was left over. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, 'Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world.' Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself." And that's where the story actually starts, is where Jesus withdrew himself from the crowds because he wanted to spend time with the Father alone. He wanted to be with his Father. And then, like, this crowd, they say about 5,000 men. Now, the men weren't traveling alone. The wives were there and not traveling, following Jesus. Men and wives, and then also some children as well. So it was quite a crowd. It was a little bit more than what we are today, yeah? And as I read this, I go like, I'm trying to picture this. And in today's age, we've got so many filters on our lens or on our eyes, on the way that we see Jesus, the way that we read the Bible. We can't comprehend, well, at least I struggle to comprehend, what does it look like 5,000 people plus are walking because they know Jesus is there? I mean, we struggle to get 50 people on a Sunday together sometimes. And the reality is we want to meet with Jesus on a Sunday morning. When we get to community, we want to meet with Jesus. That's why we come together. We don't come together because it's a good thing to do. We want to meet with Jesus. Here, more than 5,000 people are going in the same direction because they know Jesus is there and they want to see Jesus. Jesus did some miracles. So we also know that this is not the first miracle that Jesus did. They say that Jesus has healed many, and that's why the crowds went. They wanted to be healed. They wanted to see miracles. It's also not the first miracle that the disciples saw here. But still, when Jesus asked, "How shall we feed them?" the disciples were a bit unsure. Their faith was a little bit shaken there of, "Lord, we are not able to do this." I mean, and the disciples are right. They are not able to do this. But they weren't alone. They had Jesus with them. And Jesus is able to do anything. And that's the beauty of this story. If we try and do this, if this story was written without Jesus, then the outcome would have looked very different here. So there were people that followed Jesus to such an extent that they were actually willing to not eat. They were willing to skip either dinner or lunch or whatever time of day it was. They were willing to skip that because Jesus is here and we want to hear what he has to say. Have you ever laid down food or anything else for that matter because you wanted to meet with Jesus? Have you ever woken up earlier in the morning because you wanted to spend time with Jesus? Or is it too lucky to lay in? You know, you have that extra half an hour in the morning. It's really comfortable. It's becoming winter now. So men's mornings on a Friday becomes a little bit more difficult to wake up and get together as men because it's nice and comfy in my bed. Or are you so hungry for Jesus that you'll actually lay down anything? We don't have to go into the detail of what that anything is because each one of us sitting here this morning has a different anything. For some, it's family time. For others, it's cycling. For others, it's fishing. For others, it's work and so forth. I'm not saying set aside your daily lives in terms of you need to work to earn money. Don't get fired. We still have wisdom. But can you wake up earlier to spend time with him? Are you willing to lay that down? Then the second thing that happened here was the disciples that saw the great crowd that came, and they actually didn't have the faith, or they were uncertain of how this is going to pan out, how this is going to look the rest of the day, because people are going to get hungry. So their thought was to send the people away. Very practical. Jesus, these people need to eat. Send them away so that they will be able to go and eat. And I'm sure there could have been a discussion about this. Yeah, they can eat and we can come back tomorrow again and we can share the good news with them. So there was a good idea. But Jesus had other plans. Jesus wanted to show something of himself here. He wanted to show the miracle that he had in mind. And then the third thing here is this boy. And this is the one I want to focus on this morning. Insignificant. He doesn't get named in the Bible. But still, this miracle happens because he had something in his hand, something that he called lunch for one, that fed more than 5,000 people. And just because he was willing to give what he had to Jesus, his posture was, and like I can just imagine this playing out, like the disciple Andrew, the Bible says, it brought the boy. I can just imagine Andrew coming to him. Hey, you've got food. Can we have that? Will you bring that to Jesus so that he can feed the 5,000 people? Like that boy thinking like you're not very good at maths, are you? Like this is lunch. But he was willing to go like, you know what? I'm sure they know what they're talking about. So he took what he had, the little bit that he had, and he took it to Jesus. He said, here it is. And he was faithful with what he had, and Jesus took what he had, what was given back to him, to Jesus, and he multiplied it. And everyone was fed. And then we also read that 12 baskets were left over after everyone was fed. So there was more than enough food. So the little bit that this boy had was not just enough. Not just enough for him. Not just enough for the disciples. But enough for everyone there. And there was left over. It was more than enough. So each one of us, in the Word we read of the different gifts in Romans and Ephesians, and we read of the different gifts that's been given to us. And sometimes we feel like, yes, but it's something so small, so insignificant. A prayer. But I'm praying at home and I'll pray for people, but I'm going to do it in my quiet times. Who has used that excuse? No, I pray for people, but I do it when I'm alone. I've been there, I've done that. Instead of actually going, hey, Jock, can I pray for you right now, right here? And I pray for him and I trust that the Lord will speak to him. Or I wrote down a few examples here of the little things that we can do. Something small, we actually briefly touched on this at Men's as well the other morning. Sending someone a message because his name or her name popped into your head throughout the day, and you realized that, hey, maybe that person needs an encouragement. And I want to say thank you to all of you guys who have sent me messages with like the smallest of small message. Jock did it again on Friday, I think, or somewhere. He just messaged me, just one-liner. And I was encouraged. I was. Because in that moment, I was spending time with the Lord, and I was kneeling in front of the Lord, asking Him to come through. And the next moment, I get a message from someone who prayed for me, going, hey, I hope this encourages you. And it did, because it showed me that Jesus actually heard my prayer. So send a message, make a phone call. If you see someone, you can pray for them right there, right then. Sometimes you know that someone is going through a difficult time or just a busy time. Like they're constantly busy. Drop off a chocolate or a sweetie or a coffee. Why not? Just go, hey, Dennis, I know you're quite busy. Here's a chocolate, man. Cheers, I'm going again. You don't have to spend time. They are busy, so please don't waste their time. Like, drop off the chocolate and go and say, hey, I'm praying for you. That's okay. You can do that. I promise you, that person will feel loved 100%. Or if it's a household that's really busy or going through something, drop off a dinner. Again, you don't have to stay. Drop it off. Just, I'm thinking of you guys. Off you go again. We don't have to make something of it. God will make something of it. Little ones. Those of us who have little ones, offer to babysit. Please, this is not an invitation just for us. There are many of us who has little ones. Offer to babysit. Those are a few practical things, but the reality is there's a warfare that we're in, a spiritual warfare. And we can put all practical things in place here for a Sunday. We can have coffee, we can have sound, we can even go big and go or go home here on a Sunday with all the practical things, but without a spiritual warfare, we're not going to go far. Now, spiritual warfare, that entails many things. But sometimes it's as easy as sharing a dream that you had. And Candace, I'm going to use you as an example. You messaged me 2 weeks back, I think, of a dream that you had. And that dream was so spot on something that the Lord shared with me and with my wife. She had no idea. She was just like, hey, Adams, I had this dream. I feel this is what the Lord is saying to us as a church, actually. And she just shared it. Voice, did you call me or voice message? Called me. This week, you voice messaged me. Hey, I just had this moment with the Lord of wearing new slippers. But there's something in it. Actually, can I ask you to share that? It will make more sense than me saying wearing new slippers.
So when we went to comms on Wednesday, but before that, when the talks came about a new venue, so for us, I just felt like, why do we need a new venue? Like, this venue is fine. And then last week on Wednesday at comms, I just got the sense of, you know, when you go like, I don't need new slippers. My slippers is comfy, hulle is reg. Maar ek sien my slippers is so dun uitgeloop, dis gate in die slippers in. And then going to comms, and I just got this feeling of like putting my foot in new slippers. Like that memory foam slippers, the comfort, the plush, you're like, oh, this is so nice, this new slippers. So do you want to take it further?
Yeah, so the going into the new venue didn't make sense for her specifically until we actually got there with a combined con. And she walked in there and she was like, oh wait, this actually makes so much sense. There's a newness to this. And there is something, it's more comfortable. And it's not about the comfortability, it's about what the Lord wants to come and do. And they are deacons. So for me to know that as deacons, they understand this new move that we are making. Like, God has dropped something in their heart. And to hear, like, yo, God has done something in their heart. That was massive. It was a massive moment. For her, it was, I'm just sharing this, what the Lord told me about slippers and new slippers and stuff. But for me, it was like, wow, the Lord spoke to them. And I know they are backing this move that we are going into the new venue. And I know that we've got their hearts. And that's what happens. Sometimes the Lord come and speak to you. And are you faithful with that? No matter how small or simple it sounds to you, the reality is it's not necessarily for you. It's probably for someone else. It's probably for his church. Like, you, like, the Lord can use you. He can speak to you or through you for a Sunday service or Sunday for a message that happens on a Sunday. That has happened as well. Someone spoke to me, and in a moment, God dropped something in their heart, and I knew what I had to share on the next Sunday. God does that, He uses each one of us. But we need to be faithful with the little in our hands. Yes, there are practical things, but the little can also be something we could say called spiritual, like a dream or a word. Maybe it's a song. We're going to go into worship very soon. And maybe God dropped something in a few lyrics. Maybe it's just two lines. In your heart, you feel like, man, I need to sing this. I need to proclaim this to Him this morning. Come to the front. Come tell us. And if we feel it's in the Lord, we'll release the song and we can join in with you and worship the Lord. Maybe it's a prayer. Maybe you have faith that the Lord wants to bring healing or that He wants to pour out His Holy Spirit. He always wants to pour out His Holy Spirit. Maybe it's a word of wisdom for someone or for the church. Remember, all of those gifts that are given to each one of us is not for yourself. It's for His church. It's for the building up of His church. And I'm landing the preach with this thought of the kingdom that we are part of is massive. It's God's kingdom. We can't comprehend it. We can think we know a little bit. We can think of it. We can try and imagine it. But it's an upside down kingdom. It's a kingdom of a God that's king that also wants to be your friend. It's a kingdom of people being saved, adopted into sonship, meaning that they become family once they give their lives to the Lord. That means if you sit here this morning as a born-again Christian, you've given your life to the Lord, we are brothers and sisters in Christ because we've been adopted into His family. And he's a father looking over his children. And if we are family, we look out for one another. And we are there for one another. So there's this kingdom that is magnificent. And that boy might have felt very insignificant bringing 5 loaves and 2 fish. And you might feel very insignificant praying or sharing something that's on your heart or a dream that you had. And it's true. That boy and his lunch was very insignificant. But with Jesus, it was not just enough. It was more enough, more than enough. And the same goes for each one of us. What you have, the faith that you have, if you keep it for yourself and walk out of this door and go home with that, it means nothing. It's not stirring no one. But if you bring it to Jesus, you bring it to the table, it might just, not might, it will mean something for someone else, because it's not given for yourself. So I want us to go into worship with the heart and the prayer. I'm going to lead us in a prayer that God will come and move each one of us this morning, so that what we have, our lunch, that we will bring it to Him. That we will bring our lunch to Jesus, and that He will multiply that, not for us, for yourself, but for the people around you.